Yes, this is our call. That's us. Just rocking out, Julie. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Sit in the stream for a minute.
Come get comfortable.
The stream of the message already today. Leah, Michael, thank you so much.
Speaking the truth, man.
Let go, let God, surrender. It's all there.
Yeah, isn't it? And yeah, I love how even just the way this whole thing came together, our topic and the day's word and all the synchronicity.
I think it all started when we had Jill on the show.
Yes, it did. I think for sure.
She was so wonderful and is so wonderful. We love her. And thank you for having us. It's such an honor and treat to be here sitting in front of you and with my friend and co-host, Abby. We looking at us, we couldn't be more different. You know, if you apply all the cultural labels that we're so fond of these days the two of us, I'm a boomer.
I'm a millennial.
Right.
You know, I was born in the city.
I was a country girl, small town.
She's a mother and a wife. I'm neither.
Right. Right. And we know better than to even talk about politics. We just.
Yeah, we don't. I'm a Chevy guy.
I'm a Ford girl.
You know, it's kind of it's something that we both learned in recovery, which we share in common. That you look for the similarities and not the differences.
Yeah.
And this room is representative of that. A lot of us, we couldn't be more different from one another. We may not associate outside of this room in other circles except here in Unity. And looking for the similarities can be hard in today's culture sometimes. And
so much division.
And so we look for the commonalities. We found that we had a shared passion for exploring things, new topics, a curiosity, a passion. We were both in show business earlier in our careers, and we just enjoyed doing it together. So,
right?
Yeah, so here we are.
One thing led to another.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think...
a big part of the fabric of our commonality was that that path of recovery, though.
Mm-hmm.
Through drugs and alcohol, we both had gotten quite familiar with the AA 12 step and the many wonderful lessons. A couple of them you just mentioned there, like seeking those commonalities, let go, let God. You know, all of these have been lessons that we learned together.
All those wonderful cliches they show, you know, they throw at you when you first come into recovery
first.
And take it easy, let go, all those things.
It's one day at a time.
Yeah, and you realize that they're all true, and they're there for a reason.
Right.
But at first, you fight it. And so, you know, we want to talk a little bit about surrender today and finding serenity and some of the tools that you can use in the basic serenity prayer, which we've both discovered through recovery. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. It's a three-part prayer. We've all heard it in different forms, maybe longer versions. It's credited to Reinhold Niebuhr in the 30s. And although there's messaging like it around for so long, a Greek philosopher and Stoic, Epictetus, in early AD, like 50 AD, right after Christ, was sharing some of the same message. Marcus Aurelius, the kind of famous Roman emperor, another Stoic, same thing. There's been messages like this around, but in this format, we discovered it.
The beauty of the simplicity, I think, is in how well they... We're going to explore that with y'all today, the one, two, and the three parts.
Yeah, and it's so straightforward and so simple. I pull it up. I reach into my toolbox and pull it up every single day.
Yep, every single day. I mean... Because we have to take it one day at a time, right? And use just about every tool in my toolbox so that I can feel that sense of serenity and not struggle with those things that are beyond our control. Like, give me examples. What are some things that might be beyond my control? I can control everything, right?
Yeah, okay, so let's dive into that a little bit. Let's dive into acceptance. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Yeah. Acceptance, courage, wisdom. Acceptance that I'm not in charge of everything. Acceptance that I can't control the world. Acceptance that I'm not God. that my ego and my mind might want me to think so, but I wasn't raised with the idea of surrender.
I just want to say that, I mean, but we are God. God is expressing through us when
yes,
we are in alignment.
Yes, we're expressions of that.
Yes, continue.
Yes, absolutely. Surrender and acceptance is such a big part of this, and I
so that we can bring forward that expression, you know. But the first step, that very first step of acceptance, can be quite the doozy. And I'm going to share a little bit of my story about how I came to acceptance.
Yes.
Because I'm not one to really moralize substances. I find that one man's medicine is another man's poison, you know. But I do find it's more about the relationship that we have to that substance or that circumstance. And I don't know where exactly along the way in my early 20s, but my relationship to alcohol changed. To say the least, it was no longer serving me, you know, or anyone around me, to say the least, right? It changed, and it...
Why is that obvious to everyone around you, but never obvious to ourselves?
Right. We're the last to get the memo because we're in denial, because we're clinging on so tightly and resisting the reality that that there has been something has changed, and it's no longer serving me at all. And in fact, I became in service to it. There was some point where I became a slave, and consuming booze was a full-time occupation for me. And even though I knew deep down somewhere secretly that it was going to kill me, I couldn't admit it. And I had been dragged into AA rooms, strongly recommended. I'd attend to try and appease my family and friends and try sort of half measures avail us nothing. That's another one we learned. And it never worked because I didn't buy in to step one and ever truly admit that I was powerless over something in my life, that I had a problem, it was beyond my control, and I needed God to help me. And until I was able to do that, it was probably about another 10 years before I was able to finally do that. And what I find is so fascinating for all of us is that our path to rock bottom, whatever that substance is, whatever that thing is, our path to rock bottom is so different getting there. But once we are there, if we don't die, if we are the lucky ones, right, and we find salvation there, it always looks the same. It sounds just like this. First, we have to, can I borrow this for dramatic effect, Mark? It's usually very hunched over, very low to the ground, usually even lower, right? A lot of us, it's laid out on the ground. For me, I was in a pink robe at 11:30 in the morning with half a jug of vodka still left in the bottle, and it sounded like this. God, please help me. I can't do this alone. Best prayer I ever prayed. Simplest and best prayer. That was October 12th, 2012, at 11:30 a.m., I surrendered. And as Marianne Williamson will tell you, surrender is not the end. Surrender is the beginning. Right?
Such a hard... You're talking about powerlessness.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what that prayer represents. It's, I'm powerless over this. God can help me. I'm going to let him.
For strong-willed people, it's really hard.
My story is similar in that it ends up in the same place, right? But I was never raised to surrender. Surrender wasn't a concept my father taught me. Mm-hmm. Fight harder. Try harder. Never give up. Never give in. The path is yours. Win. Create. Keep moving. There wasn't anything in there about giving up, letting go, surrendering. I didn't understand the concept.
But you went to church. I think that's the interesting
thing.
Sure,
I did.
Right? It's like you're going to church, hearing about, you know, cast your burdens upon God and pray. But then the real messaging that's being modeled is completely, almost in opposition to that.
It is. And the concept of free will, I took it and ran with it. Mm-hmm. Successful business owner, sold my business. My family said, that's enough. They intervened. and I ended up in the Betty Ford Center for 93 days. Half of that, I was angry, and I fought every step of the way. I didn't get it. I knew I needed to be there, but I just wasn't getting it. I was like, I can find a way out of this. I can still make that John Mayer concert at the Hard Rock in Vegas on December 31st. I know I can. But November 23rd, 2009, when I was dropped off at the curb, I stayed. Something in me said stay.
Yeah.
And then about 40 days in, I had a moment of clarity. I was so angry at one of my fellow patients, I guess you'd call us, that I wanted to kill him. I wanted to punch him right in the nose. And my roommate said, they tell us to pray for our enemies. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. But I did that night for a long time. And I slept through everything the next morning I was supposed to be at, all the classes, and they let me sleep. And I woke up and everything had changed. I'd given up. And it felt like there was a lightness, there was a burden lifted from me. And it just, I don't know how else to explain it except that everything changed. And so that serenity prayer is so powerful to me because except the things that I can't control. It's like, I can't control booze. I can't control drugs. I'm not a moderate person. That's not for me. I cannot control it. I've tried. My way ended up right here. And so I had a counselor who used to say, you know Mike Tyson? I said, yeah, I know Mike Tyson. He goes, well, you're an athlete. You grew up an athlete. What would happen if you climbed over the ropes and stepped into the ring with Mike Tyson? Be like, boom, out cold.
Right.
So what would happen if you stepped over the ropes and went back in with Mike Tyson? Boom, out cold. So what would happen if you did that again, went in with Mike Tyson? He said, you get see a pattern here? Don't step over the rope.
Don't do it.
So it was like, okay, I kind of get that. I'm a little thick and a little stubborn sometimes, but I get that. I understand that. So part one, acceptance. It comes hard.
Yeah.
It really comes hard, and we have to ask for help, and we have to. And it's such a metaphor for our broader lives, right? Yeah. How many times you've been sitting in traffic, and you absolutely want to murder the person in front of you? Oh. You're in line at HEB. You're whatever it is, right? You're on social media.
You I just found myself trying to direct someone else's driving this morning on the way here.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, kindly, honk, honk. No, you don't need to do that. You can just go over there. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Micromanage much, you know?
In our relationships. Gosh, she didn't respond to that in exactly the way I thought she might. Right? So we can't control others. We can't control many things in our lives. We're powerless. So accepting that's a huge one. Now,
right.
Step two.
Brings us to the courage.
Courage. What can I control?
Courage to change
the things I can. And part of that, once you've released the control, is to say, I can't change it. I can't control it. I can only change how I react to it. How I behave, how I live my life as an example, is the one thing that I can change.
Right.
Right.
And I think that courage, it's interesting. I think our idea of courage is that it's going to be big and bold. And that's what it's going to look and feel like. But I think in my experience, the courage shows up in the amount that I need. And in this situation, I went from the kind of the night of my awakening after asking God for help before the sunrise, I had to come to Jesus moment where I too felt like something just lifted. It was almost like a spell was broken for just a moment and I had lucidity. I could see that there was another way, just a brief moment, that there could be another way, a way out for me. And there was a morsel of courage. I felt this something show up for me because prior to that, I'd just given up. I knew I wasn't going to do any better today than I did yesterday. I was just kind of helpless, hopeless about that at that point. And then suddenly there was a little ounce of courage. It was like, oh, but no, you can. It was a spirit. I felt the presence of God saying, oh, but you can, and we want you to. It was like this little bit. And it was such a small amount that I couldn't even say it to another human being. I could not utter what, I mean, my confidence in myself was so low that before I could actually say it to Daniel, which I'm glad you're here, by the way, this morning, to say it to Daniel was to first admit it to the smallest living thing I could find. The smallest living thing and utter it. And for me, that morning, it was right before the sun came up, it was about 5 o'clock, I'm looking into the drain of my sink and talking to the mold because it's equal to the courage that I have. Anything else would have really intimidated me. And I just said to it, whispered, I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop.
You've all seen the movies like 28 days or something. It's like start with a plant. If you can keep the plant alive for a month, go to a pet. If you can keep the pet alive, you know, then think about relationships. Yeah, right. So you start really small with that.
Start with the mold.
Start with the mold in the drain.
The admission to the lowest form of life you can possibly find. Yes. And then from there, it was easier. I came out and still in that within that break told Daniel and just said, honey, wake up. I got to tell you what's been going on in the depth. But not the depth of it. And just let him, I feel there's a break. And then I admitted it to my family, and then I went down to AA down here and admitted it to the whole full room of people and started finding the tools that I needed once I was finally ready to receive.
So the courage, right?
Yeah, courage.
It's the small, the courage to not respond.
Take the next step.
To not react. The courage to receive love. Mm-hmm. Hello, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. The courage to receive love in your life, which was a hard one for me. I was all about giving, but receiving was really tough for me because it was my deal to do it. It was my path, and to let someone love me was difficult. And so that took courage, right? It took courage, little courage. To not respond to anger, not respond in anger, to not those things that that we're so used to doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the wisdom.
Oh, the wisdom.
Part three.
Uh-huh, part three.
The wisdom, which is so hard won in our lives, right?
Yeah.
We're on a journey and a path our entire lives. I think sometimes in my 60s, I'm as good a person as I've ever been in my life.
Oh, for sure.
As my body's falling apart around me, my soul and my heart and my mind are working together in harmony better than they ever have.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for the cruelty.
Right.
You know, it's like the irony of aging. But it's really true, and it's a wisdom that's been hard won.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can't, in that acceptance... In the courage and knowing the difference between I can't do anything about that, but I can do something about that. In this world today, when there's so much to be compassionate and empathetic and angry about all the time, you get fatigued. Like, what we've been through the last few years.
A compassionate heart, right? Where should I help?
Yeah, I can't do it all. I can't hurt for everyone.
Yeah,
I have to practice some self-care. I have to take care of myself in moments like that. And it gets really exhausting. And I'm sure everybody's felt that in the last couple of years. It's still not over. We're still feeling it. And the world just spins away from us. And what can we do about it? We can take care of ourselves and those that we love and have faith that God will sort it out. And that's just all we can do. And
keep
that's
that channel clear.
Yeah.
For me, you know, we talk a lot about spiritual fitness in AA. And it's that if, as long as I can keep that channel clear and unsaturated, when it's saturated with that substance, whatever that might be I cause, there's like distortion within that channel. And I can't quite hear that still quiet voice of truth within, or my holy tribe, my spirit tribe. I know we're here nearly to time, but I do have to share a brief moment because I know we have a lot of parents of adult children in here. And a moment of wisdom that my mother exhibited was quite incredible. She had been resisting and fighting with me on my drinking for the longest time.
And she's a force.
Oh, she's a force, and she's a therapist. I mean, we were just in this dance, you know, it was our problem. Ah, you know. until she woke up. A little friend came over and did a little Byron Katie work with her and asked her the questions and let her know, you know, she kept saying, well, Abby needs to quit drinking. Well, but she's not. So to say that she needs to is to argue with reality. Apparently, she needs to keep drinking. Oh, my mother was like, how can you say that? She's going to kill herself. And she said, but that's the reality. So the sooner you wake up and get healthy, you can maybe help her. But as long as you're in this dance with her, and sure enough, it was the strangest thing. I had just flown out to Los Angeles. I was about to do a show on HGTV the next morning, and my mom called me because she knew I was drunk getting there and was so worried about me, and she just had it. She said, I'm just so you know, I'm done doing this with you because it's beyond my control. Your drinking is not my problem, and it's nothing I can fix. So what I can do as a parent who loves you, she said, I don't know. I don't understand why this is happening to you. And it breaks my heart. But I'll tell you one thing, I'll live. You're going to die. And I'll live through it as best I can. And I'm going to start doing right now the only thing I have control over, and that's to prepare myself. I'm going to start preparing your funeral arrangements. Just so you know, we'll get it taken care of. Whoa.
Wow.
I'll tell you what. All of a sudden, it wasn't our problem anymore. It got really clear. Her boundaries and her courage to let me have the spiritual journey I needed to have allowed me to have it finally and allowed me to wake the hell up because it was my problem and no one else's problem, and I was going to be the one. They're all going to go on but me. So I urge y'all to find the courage to have the boundaries and don't do the work for other people because you can't. You can't. You know.
I loved what you said that you attributed to Marianne Williamson about surrender is not the end, it's the beginning. I felt like it was giving up at the end of it. I was like, I give up.
Yeah. Right.
But I didn't understand at the time until I had more perspective that it was really the beginning of everything starting to happen and the energy that would start to rise in my life with my sobriety and my recovery, that it was really the beginning, and you spoke to that in your prayer, and thank you for that.
Promises start coming true.
Would you all say it with us? Would you say the serenity prayer?
Let's do actually.
With
let's
us?
Practice we, this.
We love this
I'm
prayer.
I'm going to let Dee
lead y'all. I pull it out of my toolbox every day. Would you all stand up and read it with us? I just really
appreciate it. And
when
we're done, I'm going to ring the bell, and we'll just hold for a few moments of silence, and we'll wrap up our talk. We're
yes.
Done. Okay.
So it starts with God, which we all love, obviously. Mm-hmm. Read it with me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you all for letting us share.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.